Lovely. It's nice to be here with you all. Thank you. Thank you. It's nice to be here, Sam. Yes, I have been here for a long time in Jubilee, but as they said, part of the Stoke site normally. And so there's people here that I don't recognise, that I haven't met, which is great. So come say hello. I'll try and say hello. If we both try and do that, we might actually manage it. The cool thing is kind of going on at the Stoke site as well, new people that you guys don't know, and it's just lovely, isn't it? That's kind of what we're about, so that's fun. So I'm going to carry on preaching through Philippians, next little passage in Philippians chapter 2 this morning. But before we get to the passage, I want to think about some things that sometimes we oversell. Things get oversold in this world, don't they? I'm sure you've seen pictures of like winter wonderlands. That, you know, these pictures with like Santa and all that, we'll get to that in a moment, and like beautiful trees in Lapland, and then people go and arrive and they turn up and it's actually like a twig and, you know, like a blow up Santa in an empty cold warehouse and that kind of thing, and there's always an uproar about it. This is one of my favourite ones that I found. This is an advert on a train in India which is promising a cure for baldness in 2 hours. All right, 2 hours. So, you know, put this on your head, Ben, and 2 hours later, you'll look like that. I think my favourite thing is that the company's name is Shiny. You know, that was fun. So things get oversold, but also things get undersold, don't they, sometimes? There was once a Tesco's made a mistake. There was a Tesco's voucher that on certain items, when you took them to the till, it was buy one, get three free for a short amount of time, which is amazing. One enthusiastic shopper bought 72 yogurts and 12 tubs of butter for £2.34. Presumably they didn't have a dairy intolerance. Photographers in America were pleased recently because Amazon, through an error, meant that for a brief amount of time, you could buy a camera worth $5,000 and a lens worth $13,000, didn't even know that happened, for a total of $94.48. I know, right? That's a good deal. Or there was a website called Zappos.com. Anyone heard of that? Yeah, all right. It's a very high-end clothing website. They had a pricing error, which meant that anything on their website that was more expensive than $49.95 was sold for $49.95. And I found the most expensive thing I could find this week was a dress selling for $1,740, Gemma. That website lost $1.6 million in just a matter of hours because things can be undersold. Sometimes I think we undersell salvation. What is God doing in the world? I think sometimes we undersell it. Sometimes we have a limited view on what is salvation? What has God done for us? Okay, sometimes we kind of focus on the fact that Jesus has saved us from our sin. And you know, that's a good thing to focus on because where the heck would any of us be were that not the case, right? I'd be bang in trouble and so would all of you. So he has saved us from our sin. He's saved us by grace and connected us to the Father once again. And that is glorious and wonderful. And then sometimes we even go as far as think, well, one day we'll go to heaven, which is sort of true. Actually, heaven's going to come to earth. It's even better, okay? But so that's kind of what we do. That's where we focus. Actually, is that underselling what God is doing in the world? I think it is. I think it's underselling it. Actually, what Jesus' aim is and what he has partially achieved and will one day fully achieve is a restoration of everything that was lost at the fall, which is much bigger than just you can be forgiven for your sin, glorious and wonderful as that is. It's a much bigger thing. He is about restoring all things. Okay? And so we get these sort of cryptic verses in different places in the New Testament. Like in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 28 says this. It says, when Jesus returns, all things are going to be subjected to the Father, that God may be all in all. What does that mean? Don't really know, but it sounds big, doesn't it? Or Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. This is one of my favorite verses. It says this. This was the plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. That's big, right? To unite all things, not just to forgive you for your sin. To unite all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. And then you get to the end of the story that we know of thus far. And we see in Revelation 21, verses 22 to 24, it says this. This is like John seeing this vision of the new creation. Okay, and what does he see? He sees this. He says, I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need for sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk. So this is like a picture of the new creation, and somehow there's no need for a temple or anything like that, because God's glory and character just fills the whole thing, infuses the very fabric of new creation. That's cool, right? Like, that's bigger, isn't it? That's bigger than you can be forgiven for your sin. That's important. It's a prerequisite, but a prerequisite for all of this, that God's glory might infuse and his character might infuse the very fabric of the new creation. I can't wait for that day. So what about now then? The new creation is something that we're waiting for, but actually has also already begun. Hello, brothers and sisters. Behold, the old is gone and the... I am a new... So the new creation has already begun. And here we are. You wouldn't know it sometimes looking around the room. Love you. I'm joking. Okay, the new creation has begun. And what does that mean? It means that God's plan to infuse the new creation with his character has also already begun. Okay? Such as it exists today. So one of Paul's prayers for a church in Galatia, this is a prayer that I pray for Jubilee Church a lot. He prays, he says, I am in the pangs of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. That's his prayer, that Christ would be formed in you. What does that mean? The character of God infusing the new creation such as it exists today. I don't normally stumble over that. Okay, so now we're going to turn to our passage, Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 to 24. It says this, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, this is Paul writing, so that I too may be cheered by news of you, for I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. They all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me here. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. That's it. Now, we've looked at some amazing passages, right, so far in Philippians 2. And here we are in this little bit, and it's Paul just going, Timothy's nice, going to send him to you soon. That's it. Now, is that there just because that's a bit of contextual stuff, because that was what was going on? Well, partly. But actually, I think we need to give the Apostle Paul a bit more credit than that. See, the Apostle Paul was a master craftsman in his letters. He was constructing his letters. Like, the whole Bible is just literary genius. Like, it puts Shakespeare to absolute shame. Genuinely, like when you get into it, I quite like the Bible, all right? And Paul was a master craftsman, okay? So this little bit, it is a little bit, yeah, Timothy's nice, I'm going to send him to you, but actually it's also there for a reason and a purpose. So what have we seen already in this letter? Well, a few weeks ago, maybe, I don't know when you did it, but a few weeks back, in chapter 2, verse 3, Paul wrote this. He said, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. So that's what Paul's taught them, writing to them. Consider the needs of others more important than your own. And then he went on to this beautiful and incredible poem in verse 5 to verse 11 about Jesus, right? And I don't know about you, preaching through Philippians 2 over the last month has profoundly impacted me. Genuinely, it is like healthily disturbed my conscience. Like, who, oh my, who, being confronted with the character of God once again in Christ. You know, we sang that song earlier, from the highest of highs to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. It says in Hebrews that actually it's in Jesus that he's been most revealed. Jesus is the one who most reveals the character of God to us. And then we read in Philippians 2 what he's like. He doesn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, and then was obedient to the point of death on a cross for you and me. I wouldn't do that, nor would you. He does, because he's amazing. He's absolutely amazing. And so Paul's saying, look, consider the needs of others as more significant than yourselves, like Jesus. And then he writes about Timothy. And he says this in verse 21. They, all these other people, they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ, but you know Timothy's proven worth. As in, they're all seeking their own interests. Here's someone who's not. Here's someone who's living the life. He's not just talking the talk, he's walking the walk. Look at him. And actually, Paul is the same. He's already written about how he would prefer to go and be with Jesus. That would be far better than living his life. In chapter 1, he wrote this. But he's saying, but actually, for your sake, it's better for your sake that I carry on living and serve you. So actually, I'd prefer to do that. That's someone who's not, who is considering the interests of others more important than his own. Then, a little bit later in chapter 3, he says this in verse 17. He says, brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. And then in chapter 4, verse 9, he also says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. And he says it really succinctly in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where he basically just says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And that's Paul's pattern, actually. He, in his letters, he teaches people what to do, but he doesn't just leave it as a theology lesson. Then he provides examples. He's like, consider the needs of others more important than your own, and I'm sending Timothy to you. He's someone who considers the needs of others as more important than his own. Imitate him, and imitate me as I imitate Christ. That's Paul's pattern. I'm going to teach you this stuff, and then I'm going to show you people to imitate. And that's what he does. But there's actually more going on in this little passage that we've just looked at. So let's read verse 22 again. It says this, you know Timothy's proven worth. How, as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. So what he's saying is, he is a father sending a son at cost to himself for the good of others. Well, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? That's what he's going, that is what he's doing. This gospel has become so ingrained in the life of Paul and Timothy that they now just can't help but live out the gospel. This is not just Paul sitting in an ivory tower with commentaries on the Bible he's about to write, okay, writing theology. This is Paul and Timothy living the life. This is Paul and Timothy so imitating Christ that they've actually become like him. Christ has been formed in them. So much so that they just live the gospel. They just live it out. They're willing to sacrifice whatever happens so that for the good of others. And Paul's going, imitate people like that. Be like that. They're great examples. Christ has been formed in them. Now remember, at the beginning, we talked about what is God doing in the world. One day, his character will infuse all of the new creation. But actually, that's already begun. His character begins to infuse the new creation such as it exists today, you and me. And so the goal is for Christ to be formed in us. But that's not just something nice for now. That is an outpost of what God is doing in the world for his future glory to make all things new, to unite all things in heaven and earth in Christ. And we see that here in Paul and Timothy. What a beautiful character. What a different paradigm to the world to operate on in the midst of this fallen world. what a witness to the world around them. So what does that look like for us in this church? Well, I think it looks like people saying, well, of course, then I'll give up my time. I'll give up my money. I'll give up my freedom. I'll give up my resources so that others may be blessed. Of course, I'll give up my time and think of creative ways to welcome others from outside in that they might meet and encounter the risen Lord Jesus. Of course, I'll give up my Tuesday or Wednesday evening to share fellowship with my brothers and sisters in the church so that they might be built up. Of course, I'll give up an afternoon in my week to work with a child in school who needs some love and help and encouragement. Of course, I'll move to another part of the city because we need to start a new site and there's people there who need to hear about Jesus as well. Of course, I'll move to another nation where Jesus has not yet been named and take up the sacrifice that that requires. Of course, I'll consider the needs of others more important than my own. That's what it looks like, right? And those are the decisions that many of us make every week. It's great, it's wonderful, but this is not just about nice people being nice, all right? This is about what God is doing in the world in this big picture. This is an outpost of the new creation, all right? This is glorious stuff. Those little decisions, you didn't think going to small group this week was about that, did you? It is. It's a glorious thing. It's an outpost of what God is doing in the world. Oh, it's good. But let's be honest with each other. We don't always feel like that, do we? We don't always feel like, yeah, of course I'll give up everything I have for everyone else. Take it. I'd love to. We don't often feel like that. Maybe it's just me. No, it's not just me. We all know love is a choice, isn't it? It's a choice. It's not a feeling all the time. And it's also true for servant-heartedness. Servant-heartedness is a choice. We don't always feel it all the time. But the truth is that it is our habits far more than our desires that form our character. Okay? So we might desire to eat healthily, but if our habit is to eat a bowl of ice cream every evening, then that desire is unlikely to be met, from experience. We might desire to get better at reading the Bible each morning to start our day, but if our habit is to wake up and grab our smartphone and start scrolling, that desire is unlikely to be met. Neuroscientist Dr. Donald Hebb once said, "Neurons that fire together, wire together." What that means is that repetition literally forms the physiology of our brains. That's mental, isn't it? Repetition literally forms how your brain is wired and therefore what comes most naturally to you. It forms your character. What that means over time is that our choices, our habits, form our character far more than our desires. It forms the people that we become. So let's ask the question, what habits are forming you right now? Because they are. If you're stuck in habits that you don't really like, or that maybe don't match your deepest desires, then that might sound like bad news. But it's not, because habits can be broken, and new and good habits can be formed. When it comes to this stuff, when it comes to Christ being formed in us, I have a little saying, a little mantra that I try to live by, which is, every opportunity is an opportunity to serve. That's my mantra, that's what I try and live by. Every opportunity is an opportunity to serve. Now, I try and do that. I try and spot big and little ways that I can serve all the time. I'll let you into a little secret. I don't always feel like it. I don't always feel massively servant-hearted and generous with my time and my freedom. In fact, quite often, sometimes, I feel quite grumpy. Hi, I'm human, so are you. I don't always feel like it, but actually what I really want is for Christ to be formed in me. And he's a servant. And he said, if you want to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, you need to be the servant of all. So I want Christ to be formed in me. That is my deepest desire. And so I've decided that I'm going to make my habits match my desire. Yeah? So even if I don't feel like serving sometime, I'm going to do it anyway, in big ways and small ways, because it is our habits that form our character. And so actually, over time, it just does become more natural. Actually, over time, my feelings begin to match up with my habits. And I'm probably less grumpy about it now than I was 10 years ago. And hopefully I'll be even less grumpy about it in 10 years' time than I am today, because our habits form our character. And this is what we see, I think, here in Paul and in Timothy. These are two men who have formed the habit of Christ-likeness. They have chosen to prefer the needs of others to their own time and time and time and time again. I am certain that there were times where Paul wasn't that fired up about going to prison and being stoned again. I really doubt. I'm sure there were moments where he's like, really? I would just rather have a straw mattress somewhere and just have a lie down. And then Jesus appears to him and says, no, Paul, I've got many in this city who are called by my name. That's why you're here. Okay, right, then I choose their needs over mine again. And those choices, day after day after day after day, form these men, where they actually, by now, they're just Christ-like. I'm sure they still had their moments, but actually they just, that's who they are now. It's become them. They're so ingrained in them, right? And it's not just their choices. This is also a work of the Holy Spirit, all right? It is a work of the Spirit to form Christ in people. We cannot do it on our own. No church can do it on their own. Paul prays that God would form Christ in the Galatians. I pray for God to form Christ in Jubilee Church all the time. Okay, so this is a work of the Spirit, but the truth is that we have our part to play. That Christ being formed in us is a collaborative work between us and the Holy Spirit. It's both together. And I tell you, it warms my heart so much when I see or hear of people doing this kind of stuff in this church. It really does. It causes a deep well of rejoicing in me, bigger than, oh, they're nice. No, this is Christ being formed. This is a glorious thing. So we need to be careful that we don't undersell these things. Okay? When we look around and see Christ-likeness in one another, Paul would say, imitate them and also celebrate, rejoice, because Christ is being formed. Okay? So when people serve, thank them. And rejoice in and with them, because Christ is being formed. And you know what? Have a go too. Christ will be formed in you as well. All right? So I just want to spend a few minutes just bigging some people up. I hope that's all right. Because I want to hold these people up as people to imitate, and I think that's legitimate. I know that makes us, particularly British people, uncomfortable. All right? Ooh, hold people up. Ooh. But actually, this is what the Apostle Paul seems to do. I'm sending you Timothy. Imitate him. All right, he's a great example. Imitate him and celebrate, because Christ is being formed. So here's some good people to imitate. James and Jen Williams. I love them. All right. And the reason I'm particularly, let's not clap every time, all right? We love them, but like, there's not time, okay? Like the Lego Club. I love the Lego Club, but I've still not even been. But the reason I love it is just because it was this. Well, we know that we want to open up our building. We've got a box of Lego. Let's have a go. That's it. And here we are. And people are coming. And people are being introduced to this community, which means they're encountering Jesus. Yeah. Let's celebrate and imitate. It's wonderful. I want to big up Toby and Sarah Smith, who some of you know. They're in the Stoke site. Every Monday evening for a long time now, they're going into a hostel in Coventry and sharing Jesus. And several people have become Christians. And it's going on from there. It's brilliant. Hugh and Sue, you are just legends in this church. Genuinely, I mean it. Just for years and years and years and years and years. How can we share Jesus with people? It's absolutely marvelous and wonderful. And we want to be more like you and celebrate you. So thank you. Sam and Jess, you guys recently, like we were looking around for someone to coordinate us at the Catalyst Festival, and really late notice, they stepped up and went, yeah, we'll do it. And they really helped us have a brilliant time. So thank you. It was great. And you helped. Well done. Sam and Rachel and your team, you're doing such a fantastic job with the young adults. Like, they took over, and in this last year, they've kind of led the team for a bit, and then they've gone, do you know what we need to do? We need to not just meet together for team meetings. We need to pray more. Yeah, great. So we're going to add a whole nother fortnightly prayer evening so that we can pray together. Well done. We should be more like that. Well done. Thank you. It's brilliant. I'm going to tell you about David Pollard. David Pollard is growing to be a hero of mine. He is possibly the most servant-hearted person I've ever met. So none of you will know this, but last week, last Saturday morning, we had leadership development upstairs, okay? And it was a good morning. I was in a bit of a predicament because my wife needed the car to take my boys to football at the same time. And so I was chatting with David that week, and he was like, well, I can give you a lift. I was like, well, yeah, but I've got a flu jab at 8:30 before the thing. And he was like, that's all right. I'll just come and take you to the flu jab. He lives in Kenilworth. Sure? Yeah, sure. So he picked me up at 8:15, took me to my flu jab. Then after that, we both went to Lidl to buy some croissants and stuff for leadership development, which he offered to pay for. Didn't take him up on it. Then he came and he was just part of leadership development. And then he was also then the last person to leave because he was up there hoovering the floor after everyone else had left. And then he gave me a lift home. And he doesn't make a fuss. He's just brilliant. Imitate people like this and celebrate, because Christ is being formed in our church. And it's a glorious thing. It's a bigger thing than we give it credit for half the time. Now, those are just stories inside the church, all right? The cool thing is, I know you've had a testimony Sunday recently and then subsequent testimony since. We had a testimony Sunday in the Stoke site at the beginning of September. And this is not just going on Sunday mornings or doing church stuff. This is brilliant. People are like in their workplaces doing all sorts of wonderful things. Stories of people praying for their colleagues. Stories of people being salt and light in the workplace, taking proactive steps to influence the workplace with the kingdom of God. This is glorious stuff. People giving up career opportunities to become more available to God. Others pursuing career opportunities because they want to bring God's kingdom in with a bigger influence. It's brilliant. It's wonderful. Two of my other heroes in this church are Dejo and Jay. They're amazing. They are amazing. Do you know what they do for their work? Like, I tried to explain Dejo and Jay's life to my kids once. You know, I feel so small when I talk to them. What they just do for their day jobs, like being a doctor, and Dejo literally saves people's lives with robots. During the week, that's what he does. He operates on people with cancer through robots. There's not many people in the world who know how to do that, and he's one of them. And he turns up here, and you wouldn't know. He's so humble. They're so humble and amazing. And they're heroes of mine. Like, honestly, I'm like, no, like, you know, you're the amazing ones, right? Don't like, you know, they're so just brilliant. And there's all sorts of other things. Teachers in the church who are just sticking at it, seeking to bring God's kingdom in really increasingly difficult environments in education. People bringing life and creativity into all spheres of life. And there's loads of others that you will know and I don't. This is good stuff, brothers and sisters. And I think we need to not undersell these things. I think we need to not just go, yeah, that's really nice. It is nice, but it's way bigger than that. It's an outpost of what God is doing in the world. It's Christ being formed in the new creation. It's the character of God infusing the new creation as it exists at the moment. So we should imitate one another when we see this, and we should celebrate when we see these things. They represent something far, far bigger. And, you know, a consistent teaching of the New Testament is that the good we do in this life, somehow in a mysterious way that none of us could explain, somehow influences and shapes the new creation beyond. Right? So when you hear about these things, it's not just happening now. Somehow this is making the new creation when Jesus returns all the more glorious. I mean, like, I want my life to count for that. I really do. I want to, like, honestly, all I'm living for is to hear the words from Jesus' mouth. It makes me cry even to say it. Well done, good and faithful servant. If I, like, the new creation will be glorious and unimaginable. If I hear those words, I'm good. Forever. That's it. And there's a whole lot more to come, because as I'm only beginning to learn, grace is even bigger than mercy. I can't begin to get my head around grace. I'm just about all right with mercy because I really know that I need it. Okay, but grace on top, I can't take it in. And that's why Philippians 2 has been so impactful for me, because God's just not giving up on me. He's not satisfied with my experience now of who he is, with my experience thus far of an understanding and of his goodness, because my understanding is this big and he is infinite in his goodness and grace and mercy, and he is utterly, perfectly faithful and committed. He will not give up ever encouraging me deeper into his grace and mercy and goodness and kindness and faithfulness and glory. And it's true for you too. He is committed to that. And that's what I've experienced some of in Philippians 2. It's just like, oh my goodness. His grace is just mind-blowing. And like, particularly for me in times of worship, I'm just like feeling Jesus drawing near. You know, like at the beginning of term in the Stoke site, Simon Brown brought a prophetic word about water being poured out and the Holy Spirit coming. Now, let's be honest, we've all heard those prophetic words before, all right? Water, you know, it's biblical. So I thought, okay, great, yeah, more of that, that'll be nice. And then the next 6 weeks, like Jesus has actually begun to draw near, and it's been overwhelming. And it's not in a way I expected. You know, when someone brings a prophetic word like that, I have an image of what that might look like if it happens. It's not this. What it is just him just drawing near with his grace and not letting me get away with not accepting it. That's what he's about. So, brothers and sisters, can you look around you this week and see where Christ is being formed in us? And what will you do with it if you see it? Can people look at you and see Christ being formed in you? What choices can you make this week to cooperate with the work of the Spirit to form Christ in you? Consider your desires versus your habits. Which are helping and which are not? What habits do you want to cultivate your character? What habits do you want to break? What habits do you want to make? Who can keep you accountable to them? This is one of the things small groups is for, all right? Talk about this in your small groups. Christ being formed in us is the focus, okay? So I'm going to stop. I wonder if Rachel and the band wouldn't mind coming back. We're going to respond to Jesus. I'm going to pray for us as they come up. But this isn't really a like, come forward and do business with God Sunday. This is a come back next week and tell us how you got on Sunday. Yeah? So why don't you, if you're willing and able, why don't you stand with me and I'll pray and then we'll respond together. Oh, Lord Jesus, you are beyond words wonderful. And yeah, your grace, like everything we have is of grace. Every breath we breathe is of grace, let alone every blessing that we receive, every gift, every good thing in our lives. And then we begin to consider salvation. Then we begin to consider the cross. Then we begin to consider the hope that we have in you. Then we begin to consider new creation and what that will be. And every single bit of it is undeserved grace. Jesus, We marvel at who you are. Your character is so surprising, unexpected every single time. You are so much better than we dare to believe. And so, Jesus, we really need you to draw near to us again and again and again and convince us into your grace and your goodness. And Lord, our desire together is that Christ would be formed in us as individual living stones joined together to form a temple of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, may this be a place you are pleased to dwell, because our hearts are open to cooperate with your work in us to form Christ in you. So I pray for us this morning and I pray for us this week. Holy Spirit, would you point out these things to us? Point them out in other people's lives so that we can imitate and celebrate where Christ is being formed. Let us not undersell your work amongst us. And Lord, do it in our own lives as well. This week, Lord, would you point out habits that are hindering us from our deepest desires? And help us to break them with no condemnation because we're in Christ. And help us to form Christ-like habits that Christ may be formed in us to your glory. Amen.